Time now to talk about something else, a bit of technology. And Fevzi Tokalp joins us, editor of GadgetDetective.com. Fevzi, welcome. We're going to talk about privacy, first of all, I think.
Yeah, there's Instagram is switching off, or actually yesterday switched off, end-to-end encryption on direct messages for its users. So it's probably just worth explaining what that means. So Instagram provides direct messaging, so I can message you via Instagram. And up until yesterday, that was encrypted, or at least it could be encrypted if we chose to make it so. And what that would mean, end-to-end encryption, it means as my message, if I'm messaging you, as my message departs my phone and flies through the ether over the internet and lands in your phone, it's scrambled in such a way that not even Meta, the owners of Instagram, could look at it. They couldn't see the contents of it. You could see it because you had the keys to unscramble it when it arrived at your device. So this was a privacy feature. And Meta did not announce that they were stopping this. So it was just spotted that there was a change in their terms and conditions. They didn't spot it. And then when they were asked by journalists as to why they'd done this, they said, well, it wasn't used very much, so we thought we'd get rid of it. Well, that's not a believable answer in my view.
Well, weren't using direct messaging on Instagram very much. Is that
people were not using end-to-end encryption. They weren't opting into end-to-end encryption their messaging.
Right.
But you see, why not just make it the default? There's no downside to it for you. What this change allows, and this is not Meta saying that this is why they're doing it, but I'm just pointing out innocently what it allows. It allows not only your internet service provider to see the contents of your messages, but it allows Meta to do so, and it allows Meta to respond to requests from the government, for example, to provide the contents of those messages. It also would allow, and then Meta have not said that they're doing this, but you know, they have got their own AI which they're keen to get data for training purposes, and this would technically speaking allow them to use the contents of our messages for training their AIs.
So just to put this into context, can you tell us about all the other messaging, the emails that we do and the DMs on other platforms, are they all encrypted?
No. Well, so TikTok is not doing it. Apple do it up to a point, but you see, Apple had their own run-in with the government last year. I don't know if you remember this. It was meant to be a secret. The government imposed upon Apple to put a backdoor, essentially, into its communication systems. And Apple, instead of providing a backdoor to its advanced privacy system, it just banned UK users from doing it. So the government's wish to be able to access Apple users' messages resulted in Apple users' privacy being weakened for everyone. So now our messages are fair game for all sorts of entities.
What about WhatsApp? We get lots of people sending in WhatsApp messages every
WhatsApp
morning.
It's quite interesting. I think WhatsApp is still encrypted end-to-end, but given the direction of travel, I mean, Meta have been very slow to implement this. They announced this in 2019, and they've been doing it a very slow, deliberate, piecemeal way, and now they've reversed it completely and not even announced the fact that they've done so. So privacy campaigners say that this is a backward step. Groups like, children's groups and other special interest groups will say that this is good because criminals can have their messages monitored. I worry that this is now, it seems to me that it's part of a pattern that child protection is being used potentially as a doorway into a much wider monitoring of the population in this country. We're seeing things like age checks for adult content, which is legal, but they're providing friction, so much so that, you know, use of those websites has apparently plummeted. They're considering taking steps against people using VPNs, virtual private networks, because you know, they can be misused, but there are very legitimate uses for VPNs as well. And they're trying to discourage the use of that. This possible scanning of private messages, more identity checks online. I already feel it. I feel more surveilled now than I did 2 or 3 years ago. And I don't think, I mean, this is a personal opinion, but I don't think it really helps us to do this, not even when you're thinking about catching criminals, terrorists, and so forth, because this is now known. If I were a terrorist or a criminal, I would just not use one of these platforms. I'd use something that was less compliant, let's say. And the benefit of not doing this is, even if we can't see the details of their messages, we can look at, if you'll pardon the pun, the metadata, who is messaging who, so we can build up frameworks of who knows who is a, you know, who is a group of people messaging each other, where are they messaging for, when they're making phone calls, how long is it for. We can build up quite a picture, and we lose all of that information when we push people underground where there'll be no monitoring at all. You know, so I think it's counterproductive, but this government, I mean, it's not just this government, this has been going on for a long time. The Investigatory Powers Act is one of the most intrusive of its kind in the world, and it allows governments to surveil the population increasingly, and I do worry about it, because when you combine that with AI, our protection was always that there are more of us than there are of them, that they don't have enough people to monitor everything. I think we can have all of these cameras all around the country, and in London in particular, but there would never be enough people to watch them all the time. But now that's changed with AI systems. They don't just see, they perceive, they understand what they're seeing. They can make decisions or flag it to a human if necessary. And so these changes, I think, they could become oppressive. And I worry, because you don't just need to think about what would this government do with that information. You have to think about what would a authoritarian government do with it. You know, it's not impossible. We've seen countries slip into authoritarianism, and with these sorts of systems at their fingertips, it's quite a dangerous thing for freedom and democracy.
Okay, we've just got time to talk about a gadget as well, and this looks like an interesting one. I've had a little look at it, but you're going to have to explain what this is, because I don't quite get it.
Yeah, I've got some explaining to do. Okay, so it's a gadget from a company called Aqara, which is Aqara, and they make smart devices, smart cameras, smart sensors, that sort of thing, and you can use them to build a smart home. But the nice thing is, you can just buy it one bit at a time. It's like a smart home Lego kit. Okay, so you buy a set of bricks, and then when you've got a bit more money, you add something to it. So this is the Aqara P100. It's a sensor, and it's called a multi-state sensor. So the most basic use of it is you would stick it on a window or a door, and it would detect when it opens, right? And traditionally, the way that those move, the way that they work, is to have two pieces with a magnetic field between them, and when it opens, the magnetic field lapses, and you can tell the door's been opened. This is a lot more sophisticated than that. It can detect opening and closing, it can detect movement, it can detect tilt, vibration, something falling over, its orientation, and even if you tap it three times, okay? And it's not very big, you can't probably tell from the picture, but it's like a small sticking plaster type thing.
Oh.
It's adhesive, and you stick it to something. It's I don't know, about an inch by 2 inches, something like that. Not very thick either. It's got a small pill type battery in it, and so you can attach it to an object. It doesn't have to be a door or a window. You can attach it to a drawer if you want to know if someone's opened the drawer. You can attach it to a medicine box or a medicine cabinet. So if you've got, you know, maybe a loved one, you maybe don't want to put a camera in the bathroom, but maybe this would be really helpful to know if you notice or get an alert that the medicine cabinet hasn't been opened all day. So something like that. The fridge door, has it been left open? The post letterbox flap, Have you received your mail? The jewellery box, the safe, has a safe door been opened or has an object within it been moved?
Right. And you just stick it on and then what do you do? Connect it to your laptop or your phone or something?
So you buy a hub. So the sensor itself, it's just out. So it's just a shade under £30. They normally drop in price after a little while. But you buy a hub. The most basic hub you can buy is, list price is £30. You can buy them for about £20. So you buy a hub. You buy a sensor and then you're good to go and you can start like that. And as I say, you can add more of them to different things. But even like, has anyone fed the dog, you know, put one on the pet food container? Wheelchairs, walking frames, cupboard doors, equipment cases, gun cabinets, you know, all these sorts of things that sometimes we can't really have cameras in our homes looking in all directions all the time. There are some areas where, you know, people don't want cameras in their bedroom, for example, understandably, not even your own camera. So something like this is very, very sophisticated, and it kind of makes smart any object you stick it to, in essence. So I really like it. So for £50, you can get going with this. And then, you know, they have all sorts of other sensors. They have movement sensors. They do have cameras. They have presence sensors that use millimeter microwave to actually detect not only... they don't say this, but I think you can use them to tell if a person stopped breathing, because it's that accurate. Mm. Okay, so, but it can detect when you're in a different part of the room. So let's say you go sit at your desk, maybe your desk light comes on, you get into bed, maybe it dims your lights for you. You know, you can set up these smart routines. Very, very clever. And Acara are particularly good because they support these standards called Matter and Thread, and those are starting to be common standards so that you're not just locked in with, you know, the Google system or the Amazon system or whatever. These things can work across different systems and even help bind them together into one. So I gave it 4 stars out of 5. It's the Acara P100.
One interesting gadget. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed for that recommendation. Fevzi Turkelp there, who you will find at gadgetdetective.com and on social media at gadgetdetective.